السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. We commence with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds, the creator of entire creation, we send blessings and salutations upon the greatest of all creation, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest and the highest in status, not only from all of mankind, but even the messengers that Allah sent. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was granted the highest status, and we are fortunate to be from his ummah, to be from those who follow his instruction completely. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us steadfast, and may he make it easy for us to follow the footsteps of this greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. My brothers, my sisters, we are in the months of Hajj. And Hajj, as you know, is the fifth pillar of Islam. And Hajj, as you know, is not compulsory except upon those who can afford the trip, who manage to go, who have the permission to go, etc. Certain conditions need to be met, and then it becomes compulsory. If those conditions are not met, then it's not compulsory. For example, a person cannot afford it, then it would not be compulsory. A person is unable to travel for some reason, it's not compulsory. A person is not given permission to go in terms of perhaps visa and in terms of authority not allowing that travel, for some reason it becomes not compulsory. And that is from the Quranic verse, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it incumbent upon us that we fulfill Hajj, meaning Hajj has been made compulsory for the one who can afford, for the one who can manage. Istita'a actually means ability. So the affording of it from a financial perspective is only one aspect of it. Then from a health perspective, then from the authorities, etc., etc. However, what we need to realize is, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make Hajj at one time? Everyone has to go in the month of Dhul Hijjah to Mina, and then to Arafah, and then to Muzdalifah, and then back to Mina and Pelt. All the people have to do it at one time. Why didn't he say, you can go at any time that is convenient to you? Yes, Umrah you could. Umrah is the minor or the lesser pilgrimage. We call it the lesser pilgrimage because there is no English word that describes the word Umrah of Arabic. So Allah says, when it comes to Hajj, there is a specific time that all of you will do Hajj. Anyone who goes on another day or another month, it's not accepted. It's not considered Hajj. The same applies to Ramadan. It's 1 month of the year. Allah didn't say, okay, you've got to fast 29 or 30 fasts. Each one of you can do it when it's convenient for you. No, Allah says, this is the month. You see the moon, you fast. You see the moon, you have Eid. I want to take it further. This act of worship we have right now, Jumu'ah, there is a specific time within which it must be fulfilled. On a specific day of the week. Why did Allah decide that it has to be at a certain time, a certain day, when it comes to Jumu'ah, when it comes to Ramadan, certain time frame, when it comes to Hajj, certain place, certain time? Have you ever thought of it? Because he wants us to be together as an ummah. He wants us to be together as an ummah. He wants us to recognize each other, to realize that you are but a number. To realize that the arrogance, the haughtiness, the pride, the wealth, the authority, the looks, everything becomes irrelevant. You are in the saf, in salah. You are standing with whoever is next to you. You do not choose. You don't book a seat in a masjid. You don't. The only time that you have a place that may be reserved for those of knowledge or those who have memorized the Quran is right behind the Imam, because the Prophet ﷺ says that behind me should be those with intellect, those with knowledge. So that's why sometimes you find the month of Ramadan or on a Friday, some of the days, they have a few spaces that they might say, please don't sit here. This is for the imams and various other knowledgeable people, etc. Because the Prophet ﷺ has instructed that. And in case the imam makes a mistake, someone needs to correct him. In case the imam breaks his wudu and walks away, someone who knows what to do thereafter and how to continue should be right behind so they can carry on. Subhanallah. It's amazing. But otherwise, no booking of space. Why? Because you are just like everyone else. What happens in Hajj? Everyone has to wear the same clothing. Everyone, especially the men. The women have restrictions, but they are much broader, mashallah. Broader restrictions, which means certain things like gloves, etc., etc. You may be told you're not allowed to do this and that, and you're not allowed to apply this or do whatever else. But when it comes to men, even the cloth that you wear, there is a restriction governing that particular cloth, clothing. So no one can say, hey, my ihram is Levi's. Have you heard that one? Levi's, ihram. Wow, think of another brand, Gucci, ihram. Have you seen a Gucci ihram? I won't be surprised if people do have their little tags, but it's bogus, you know that, isn't it? It's a fake. It must be simple, straightforward. My brothers and sisters, sometimes when we think of Hajj, we just think, oh wow, it's a pilgrimage, we'll do it once in our lifetimes. Some people save for it, some don't even save for it. When you begin to save and put away money for Hajj, it's a sign that your level of connection with Allah is getting somewhere meaningful. How many of you, young, when you start earning, you put aside 100 rands a month towards your Hajj?